The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studios, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. So, Jenny Durkin's giving her State of the City speech right now, and she's talking about free college. Yay! Seattle, where everything is free. And then, as I heard in Lisa Brooks' newscast right there, Jenny Durkin says, if we give the kids free college, that frees up their money to spend on food and books. Or it frees up their money so that they can buy Wade and the latest generation iPhone. They always have money for that. We don't need to free up money for those things. But every time I hear people talk about free college here in Seattle, I will remind everybody that it's not free. It is screwing over taxpayers to pay for other people's kids. And that, in the mind of Jenny Durkin and her ilk, that is benevolence. You want to be benevolent, Jenny Durkin? Write the tuition checks yourself out of your personal savings account. But don't tell us how generous Seattle is with all this free stuff when all it is taking people's money to give to other people's children. It's an insane concept. But I know you need that concept in order to remain politically viable. And in fact, that's a perfect tease for what we have coming up at 12:30. At the bottom of the hour, I heard about this kid. He's 18 years old from Idaho. He's got a pickup truck with a snowplow blade on the front. He came to Seattle last week during the snowstorm. You will not believe how much money this 18-year-old kid made in 4 days during the Seattle snowstorm. But it's an example, and we are going to talk to him at 12:30. It's an example that if you are willing to out-hustle everybody, you can make a great living in America. You don't have to have a college degree. All you need is a pickup truck and some initiative. And this 18-year-old, like I said, wait till you hear what kind of money he's going to make this year, mowing lawns in the summertime and plowing snow in the wintertime. And he doesn't need other people to pay for his free stuff because he's working for it. But, yeah, so I'll introduce you to this young man.
Call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
And we will hear what he did out here in Seattle last week with his pickup truck and a plow blade. And with all that as mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
People on the left are really weird. Like the new mania on the left with state legislatures in blue states across the country is they are gleeful about killing babies now. And yes, I mean lighting up the sky in New York City, shining the bright spotlights to congratulate. And I'm not just talking about the post-birth, like the Virginia governor, but all these late-term abortion bills. And their argument is, well, it's a private decision between a mother and a doctor if they want to kill a baby. And what's weird about all of this is here in Washington, the people on the left want to force parents to give their children the mumps, measles vaccinations. And there's a bill that is moving ahead rapidly in the legislature that would, because right now people can get exemptions if they have philosophical concerns. You would still be able to get an exemption if you have a medical or a religious reason. But right now, if people have a philosophical concern. Now, I will tell you, My wife and I vaccinated our daughters. I think it's a good idea. I don't buy the arguments of the anti-vax crowd. But I think it's very strange to have government say, we're going to tell parents that they must inject something into their kids that mom and dad don't want to inject. That is not a decision between a mother and a doctor. We only do that for killing babies. But if a mother and a doctor say, well, we've got some philosophical concerns about vaccinations. And like I said, I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, and I couldn't care less if people disagree with me. It's fine. You're free to your opinion. All I'm saying is if somebody has decided I don't want to inject that into my kid, they should be free to do so with a huge, huge caveat. If you don't inject your kid with a vaccination, I don't think you should be able to send the kid to a public school, because that's why we have these outbreaks, because there are unvaccinated kids at schools and it's spreading. And if you want a homeschool, if you have a private school where they say no vaccinations is fine, then that should be where you send your kid. But I believe if you're going to send your kid to a public school, that the kids should be vaccinated, because we had largely eradicated measles from this country. And then, according to the New York Times, it had a resurgence in an illegals detention camp in Arizona in 2016, and now it's back. And I think that, again, no public school if you choose to not vaccinate your kid. But I do think that's a choice. It's just interesting. Pro-choice people. Kill baby? Yeah, that's mom's choice. Vaccinate the kid. No, that's government's choice. Government will decide. And here is a state rep who says, yes, we should mandate that parents vaccinate their kids. This is Paul Harris.
No, I think it's the right thing. And I think we'll see the vast majority agree with me. I find it kind of an odd argument, to be quite frank, that that you don't want to be vaccinated against these diseases that other countries are clamoring for.
And I think it's an odd argument as well. I just don't think it's government's role to mandate that parents inject their kids. And the representative says that the public outpouring is squarely on the side of the lawmakers who want to mandate this.
I've heard from several families with kids who have compromised immune systems that either had heart transplants or livers or gal. I mean, a lot of them who are in kids who are in cancer treatments that they can't be vaccinated are very concerned.
And our governor, Jay Inslee, he's weighing in on this as well.
The damage is so significant and the vaccination so effective. It's a very effective vaccine that there really is a right decision for all of us to call for the protection of all of our children.
Think about that in context with late-term abortion, though. That can you imagine the left's heads would explode if Inslee and state legislature said, well, for the health of the children, minutes before birth, we're not going to allow moms because they're afraid they're going to get depressed. We're not going to allow moms to kill them. It is so bizarre. What the left wants government to mandate vaccinations, but government should be hands off when it comes to killing babies. But I have long since stopped trying to figure out any consistency among the left around here. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Bizarro world.
And then there's another battle that's going on. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, here in Washington State, they have made a ruling that bans the dumping of raw sewage into Puget Sound. And a bunch of environmental activist groups say, we're behind this. No dumping of raw sewage. And there are some tugboat companies, and they're saying, well, we already have some pretty strict regulations. We have to be 3 miles offshore. But, yeah, we can flush our tanks into the Sound. Yeah, I don't think you should be able to flush, you know, paper, toilet paper, other products like that. That needs to all be filtered out. But it's just odd to me. Remember about 3 years ago when the mismanagement of Dow Constantine and King County, they dumped 250 million gallons of raw sewage into Puget Sound at that Discovery Park treatment plant. 250 million gallons. And then months later, they did an investigation and they said, oh, didn't hurt the Sound at all. It cleansed itself. So when government dumps a quarter billion gallons of raw sewage into the Sound, they say, oh, it's no big deal. Cleaned up. Just flushed itself out. Just 2 weeks ago, 19,400 gallons of wastewater went into Puget Sound right off of Richmond Beach because a pump station lost power. No big deal. But now a bunch of environmental activists are telling people on boats, but you can't dump your human waste into the Sound. Why is it when government pours a quarter billion gallons in, it's no big deal and nobody's fined and nobody loses their job and the Sound cleans itself, but a tugboat operator wants to empty their tanks, as they've done for well over 100 years, then they said, no, Sound can't handle that. Really? What about, is human waste that different from fish waste? I mean, there are probably billions of creatures in our seas, in our oceans. They're all pooping and piddling, and the oceans handle that fine. But if a human being poops or piddles, then they have to fine the tugboat companies. Again, I'm just having trouble finding consistency here. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
I tell you what, this Jussie Smollett story, it's over. The guy hired the two Nigerians to beat him up, to fake a hate crime. I hear all the time from the left how hateful America is, but if that's the case, then why do they have to keep faking hate crimes? Wouldn't there be some real hate crimes instead of having to hire actors to do it? And it really is an indictment. Look, Jussie Smollett, he's yet another example of a guy who let his obsession with Donald Trump destroy his life. Destroyed his life, destroyed his career. What they now believe is that you've seen the letter that he received a week before the hate crime, where it was letters cut out of a magazine and pasted onto paper to make some racial and sexual slurs against him. And apparently, according to the Nigerian brothers, Smollett was upset that the fake hate crime letter didn't get more attention, so he had to go to the fake hate crime Bleach and Noose so he could finally get some attention. So he's crazy, and he's got Trump derangement syndrome, and he wanted to allow somebody to destroy his career because he couldn't handle his own brain. But the media, this is more an indictment of the media. And how when this story first broke, they wanted it to be true so desperately.
Beaten with a noose around his neck and hospitalized. Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism. We're talking about
hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, "This is MAGA country."
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
Officials are investigating the alleged assault as a hate crime.
And now police say they're investigating this as a possible hate crime.
Anyone attacked in a hate crime like this is an outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling information. It's out of control.
Yeah, the media is out of control. The media wanted this because the media despises the president, and they loved. They were gleeful. MAGA hat-wearing people yelling racial and sexual slurs. Oh, they couldn't get enough of it. But let me tell you how the New York Times, you know, the Virginia governor who wore a hood and KKK robe or blackface. We don't know which one he is in the picture. And so then that focused attention on the lieutenant governor. Two women have accused the Virginia lieutenant governor of sexual assault. Here's how the New York Times covered that. Justin Fairfax, a Democrat who's drawn national attention, issued a statement denying an unsubstantiated allegation of sexual assault. So when two women accuse this guy of sexual assault, the New York Times immediately calls it an unsubstantiated allegation. When an actor accuses two Trump supporters of a racist homophobic attack, here's how the New York Times covered that. Jussie Smollett, one of the stars of the TV show Empire, was attacked in Chicago by two people who yelled racial and homophobic slurs and wrapped a rope around his neck. Really? The guy accused of raping two women, the New York Times called it unsubstantiated allegation of sexual assault. The guy who faked a hate crime, the New York Times didn't qualify it as unsubstantiated or as an allegation. They just cited it as fact. But there's no media bias. That's the same news organization there. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm really looking forward to introducing you to a young man who through pure hustle made an unbelievable amount of money during the Seattle snowstorm last week. We'll talk to him next here on the Dory Monson Show. As I've told you many times, I've had to hustle my entire life. Didn't have any money when I was a kid. Almost always worked two or three jobs pretty much my entire life. And so when I see young people who have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit, I love talking to them. A young man, 18 years old, from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, he made some pretty good dough on the Seattle snowstorm and the slush that followed. His name is David Holston. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, David, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hello, nice to talk with you.
Okay, so tell me, first of all, about how you ended up here in Seattle last week when it was snowing out.
Right, okay. So it was my mother. She was over at the hospital at the UW, and I was over here in Coeur d'Alene plowing.
Yeah.
And it was my mom's birthday on the Saturday, so I was driving over there with my plow truck. And if I picked up a job, that would be a blessing. And if I didn't, that would still be fine. So that's how I ended up, because it was my mom's birthday over there.
Yeah. Tell me about your plow truck. Is it just a pickup truck with a plow outfitted on the front, or what is it?
Exactly. It's a Dodge 3/4 ton with a 10-foot plow on it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you ended up here for your mom's birthday, thought if I can pick up a gig or two, that'd be fantastic. And what ended up happening?
Right. Well, I figured I might get $1,000 by doing one job.
Yeah.
But then as I was driving over to Seattle, a lot of people were calling me, and even while I was in Seattle. And so I was working long days on from Monday morning to Tuesday morning. I worked 24 hours straight. And there are a lot of times I would work over 12-hour days. And then I was plowing. As I was plowing, people were calling. My phone wouldn't stop ringing. And the Lord really blessed me by giving me this opportunity to come over and plow.
So how did people, I mean, if you're based and live in Coeur d'Alene, how do people out here even know about you to call you?
Right, right. I posted an ad on Craigslist.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And so what kind of jobs were they? What were you plowing for people?
I plowed some Walgreens parking lots, a Honda dealership, some Amazon buildings, an industrial parking lot, daycare, motel, and some a residential street.
And you get $1,000 per gig?
It was anywhere from $500 to $750 per hour.
Oh, okay. Five, really? Yeah. That's good money. Five to seven. I mean, I know it's a seasonal business, but
right.
And is snow so rare here in Seattle that there just aren't very many people who could who had the rig to do this?
Yes, both.
It okay.
Doesn't snow like that in Seattle. It's very rare that it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not a lot of people over in Seattle have private trucks.
Right. Okay. And so David, how much did you end up making in your few days here in Seattle?
The Lord blessed me with about $35,000.
That is awesome. 35 grand?
Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
So in 4 days, you made $35,000 plow.
Correct.
That's just remarkable. And could you have done more? Did you have to turn some business away?
Oh, definitely. I could have employed 5 plow trucks. If I had a whole crew, I would have sent them all over to Seattle.
Wow. So what's your full-time job? Obviously, snow plow is seasonal. What do you do the rest of the year?
Right. I mow lawns in the summer, and then I plow snow in the winter.
Okay. And
right.
So you just have a bunch of regular customers for the lawn mowing?
Correct, yes. And I have a bunch of accounts over here snow plowing.
Yeah.
And it was great because my friend, he even covered for me back here in Coeur d'Alene while I was plowing snow over in Seattle.
Do you mind my asking how much do you make a year doing all this?
Last year was my first year, so it wasn't too much, maybe $30,000 total last year with the plowing.
Yeah.
This year, I'm hoping to expand my business, hire some brothers, and then go to town. Just bringing more customers in. We'll see what the Lord has in store.
Well, I mean, we're just a month and a half into the year, and obviously you're well over $35,000 already. I mean, this is a six-figure job, it sounds like.
Right. My goal at the end of the year, it would be great to have $100,000, including this last week.
Yeah. And you're 18 years old.
Correct.
I mean, what this tells me, David, and I've believed this ever since I was your age, because like I said at the beginning, I had to hustle my whole life. And I just think that people, if they would just outwork the competition, I still think this is a land of unlimited opportunity. And here you are making a really good living at age 18 just because you're a hustler.
Right. Well, my parents taught me to work. Like it says in the Bible, this you don't want to be a sluggard, like it says in Proverbs 9.
Mm-hmm.
A little folding of your hands to sleep. You need to get out there and plow your field, make your living.
And is this what you want to do professionally going forward?
Yes. I was planning on doing this business for about 10 years. And then sell the business in about 10 years. We'll see what goes on as businesses pop up as I move forward.
Yeah. I mean, what a great story about a kid and a pickup truck, and you're able to make a really great living just by hustling. I love everything about that, David. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay. It's really nice to talk with you. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Great talking with you.
All right. David Holston over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And Yes, this is what I've been talking about. This is a land of opportunity. People who say that they are owed something, people who say that they just need government to take other people's stuff to give to them. No, no, no. Go get it yourself. That's awesome. All right, love to hear your thoughts about all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm getting a lot of messages from you on the young man I just interviewed. The online Trading Academy text line is 98973. And he is licensed and insured. A bunch of people asked me that. And as he said to me off the air, he goes, now, I'm not just some hick with a truck. He is licensed, bonded, and insured. So for the people who are wondering about that, that's your answer. So to be president, under our Constitution, you must be at least 35 years old. They don't want any kids running the country. Should we have a maximum age for president? Because I'm telling you, there's no question. And it's this is not about ageism. Just unquestionably, we all are going to slow. If we're lucky enough or make enough good decisions health-wise to get to our 80s, you slow down mentally and physically when you get into your 80s. And I just ask that because Bernie Sanders, who will be 79 years old in 2020, Bernie Sanders announced today that he is running for president.
The imperative that Donald Trump be defeated, because I think it is unacceptable and un-American, to be frank with you, that we have a president who is a pathological liar, and it gives me no pleasure to say that, but it's true. We have a president who is a racist, who is a sexist, who is a xenophobe, who is doing what no president in our lifetimes has come close to doing, and that is trying to divide us up.
That's what socialists do. They try to divide us up. And I agree with a couple of things that he's, you know, negatives about Trump, although I've never seen evidence that he's a racist and a xenophobe. And despite the fact that gets repeated over and over and over again. But I think socialism is a far worse evil than whatever he's accusing the president of. And he's a socialist. And he says that the 2020 is Bernie time.
You may recall that in 2016, many of the ideas that I talked about, Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition free. All of those are...
There's no such thing! It's free college! But again, this is what, you know, you got Mayor Durkin. She's doing her State of the City right now. She's talking about free college. These socialists everywhere who the only way they can be successful is with a message that appeals to really dumb, lazy people. Because if you believe that college is free, not only is it not free, but having government tax other people to pay for other people's kids, that raises the cost of college. Because if it's subsidized by government, of course the colleges and universities are going to raise their fees. Because more and more people are going to want to get in. There's no cost control through economic principles, and it drives up the cost of college for, you know, the people who actually pay for their own, work their way through school. It's just a, but again, so people like him and Shama Sawant and Jenny Durkin, to a large extent, with all her socialist nonsense, they have to have a message that appeals to really dumb people, because who else would believe that college is free? And then, like I said, dumb and lazy. I don't want to work. So, you know, that's the, you know, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They want to give a guaranteed salary to people unwilling to work. And so it's a message that just appeals to the dumb and the lazy.
Ideas, people say, oh, Bernie, they're so radical. They are extreme. The American people just won't accept those ideas. Well, you know what's happened in over 3 years? All of those ideas and many more are now part of the political mainstream.
So you're saying the party came your way?
Well, I don't want to say that. I think most people would say that.
Is that your argument then against your competitors, which is I was Medicare for all before Medicare for all was cool?
I guess that's one way of looking at it, but it's no. I know many of the people, certainly the senators who are running, and without exception, I am fond of them. They are, in some cases, my friends.
And then free college, free health care. There's no way to pay for any of this, but everything's going to be free in our socialist paradise future.
Let me ask you on your Medicare for All. You have talked about the fact that polls show 70% are in favor of Medicare for All. But that number drops to 37 if somebody hears private insurance is going to go away, which is what your plan offers. So I guess my question is, you're offering something that the polling shows people can get very spooked very quickly about.
No, yeah, but that's because we're going to be taking on the insurance companies and the drug companies who are going to spend a whole lot of money distorting what we believe in. The bottom line is the average middle-class family will save money, will spend less money on health care, will have more choice, and have broader coverage than is currently the case.
I say, well, when government runs it, now, government is essential when it comes to things where there's no profit potential, no competitive market forces. Government's essential for building roads and infrastructure, schools to a certain extent, although I wish there was more free market principles in schools, like with charter schools and vouchers. That would make schools a lot better. But where have I heard that before? That once government takes over, costs of insurance will go down and people will get more choice.
A system where we're going to work with your employers to lower your premiums by up to $2,500 per family per year.
We will start by reducing premiums by as much as $2,500 per family.
Here's what change is saying to people who already have health insurance. And the employers who are providing it will work to lower your premiums.
Okay. Now, Bernie Sanders talks about Trump being a pathological liar. Well, then Obama's a pathological liar because he knew, as he's telling the dumb and the lazy, that government's going to give you free health care and it's going to cost less. He, you know, $2,500. He said it over and over. I've got 2.5 minutes of that montage of him saying it over and over. And what's happened? Well, it's gone up for each family about $3,500. So that's a $6,000 per family lie that Obama told over and over and over again. And he knew it. I knew it. If I knew it, I guarantee he knew it. So if Trump's a pathological liar, then Obama is too. And that's politics in America today. Fast 15 next.